I invite you to turn in your Bibles to a familiar place of Scripture, Psalm 23. Psalm 23, a beloved psalm, I'm sure, to most of us. It's a psalm that even those people are familiar with that they're not even Christians or those who perhaps attend church recently. It's a psalm that's familiar to us because it speaks to us about God's personal presence and personal care. We want to read together the whole psalm and do a bit of an overview of this beautiful psalm together. Psalm 23 will begin with the superscript, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is God's holy word. May he write it upon our hearts this morning. Beloved, this psalm has been called the Pearl of the Psalms by the great preacher Charles Spurgeon, and I think rightly so. This psalm has helped dry many tears in times of sadness and mourning. It's provided strength and hope for many people in their pilgrim journey and their time of need. In fact, just a few weeks ago, after the closing of Living Hope, when I visited many families and prayed with them and sought to ask them about the future, I turned to this psalm with them as we considered God in a fresh way as our shepherd during this time of transition. You know, all throughout the Psalms, David is honest about his doubts. He's honest about his feelings of being forgotten sometimes. He's honest as he asks difficult questions of God. Psalm 10, verse 1, God, why are you standing so far away? Psalm 13, verse 1, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? You know, if you read the majority of the Psalms at the beginning of the Psalter, the tone is primarily lament. You know, the musical genre that would accompany many of the early songs would be the blues. That's what David is singing in the early part of the Psalter. But here in Psalm 23, David speaks to God from a place of confidence and trust. The psalm is a breath of fresh air in the midst of the questions and struggles that especially characterize the early Psalms. In this psalm, beloved, it invites us this morning to put our trust in the one who is our shepherd in the midst of this life, in the midst of the trials of this life. And we'll see at the heart of this psalm the reason why we can put our trust in the living God today as our shepherd is because of his personal presence with us. As David says, you are with me. And there's two ways in this psalm that the Lord is primarily with his people. The first part, the Lord is with his people as a shepherd. That's the familiar part to us. But secondly, we won't be able to focus on it as much, but we also see the Lord is with his people as our host. He's with us as a shepherd, and he's with us as our host. And so we're going to think about those two things, and may God help us to see this psalm in a fresh light this morning. First, the Lord is our shepherd, as we see in verse 1 through 4. You hear that summary statement of David at the beginning, the Lord is my shepherd. Notice David doesn't say that the Lord is my king or my deliverer or my rock, although God is all of those things for his people. But he says the Lord is my shepherd. See, a shepherd is more intimate than an impersonal rock or a distant king. A shepherd lives with his flock 24 hours a day. A shepherd is everything to his flock. A shepherd's work never stops. In every season of life, a shepherd acts as a guide, as a protector, and as a physician. But to call God a shepherd is actually very surprising. It's very surprising. Because to be a shepherd is to serve in a humble role. You know, if a family needed a shepherd, it was always the youngest son who took on the task because it was a lowly task. It's a task you wouldn't necessarily want to take upon yourself. And David knew this task because he was a shepherd as a young boy. And again, who is the shepherd of Psalm 23? It's Yahweh, capital L-O-R-D. It's the Lord, the great I am. the one that the scriptures say who created all things by the word of his power and who dwells in unapproachable light right now in the highest of heavens, this God has stooped down to be the shepherd of his people, to live with his sheep every moment of every day as a shepherd. The idea of God as our shepherd, it's a rich theme all throughout the Bible, even in the Old Testament. When Jacob blessed his sons in Genesis 49 before he died, he said this in verse 15, "The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day." And again, in Psalm 77, it highlights how God shepherded his people Israel in the Exodus. It says in Psalm 77, "You led them like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." Throughout the Old Testament, God guided his people. He protected his people. He nourished them on their journey as the shepherd. And notice, because the Lord of heaven and earth is David's shepherd, he says, "I shall not want. Because the great I am is my shepherd, I shall not want." In other words, the Lord is with his people. He's with us in Jesus Christ to meet all of our needs. Now, not all of our wants, but all of our needs. As the Psalms testify elsewhere, those who fear the Lord, they lack no good thing. You see, sheep, they're wholly dependent upon their shepherd. They rely on their shepherd for all things. They can't take care of themselves. And this is who we are. We need the Lord. And he says, "In Christ, I am your shepherd, and I will meet all of your needs. I will take care of you. I will provide for you. I will protect you." And this psalm here, it begins to show us the ways in which God provides all of our needs. There's three things here that the Lord does. First, verse 2, he provides for us rest and refreshment. Rest and refreshment. After giving this summary statement about God being our shepherd, we're told, "He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters." Green pastures, still waters. These are places where sheep could go and enjoy food and enjoy rest. You know, after morning grazing, sheep typically lie down for several hours in midday in a shady and cool place. Sounds like a good thing, especially on today. You know, sheep have to rest. If they're driven too hard, they will die. Jacob says in Genesis 33, verse 13, "My Lord knows that the nursing flocks and herds are a care to me, and if they're driven too hard for one day, all the flocks will die." You see, sheep, they're incredibly vulnerable creatures, and it can actually be very difficult for a shepherd to help his sheep to rest. One actual shepherd by the name of Philip Keller, he lived as a shepherd for 8 years, and he wrote this about Psalm 23. This is his commentary. He says, "It's almost impossible for sheep to lie down unless they are free from all fear. Sheep will not lie down also unless they are free from all friction with others. If tormented by flies or parasites, sheep will not lie down. Only when free from these pests can they relax. Lastly, sheep will not lie down as long as they feel in need of finding food. They must be free from all hunger." Fear, friction, flies, and famine. All of these things keep sheep from lying down. In other words, sheep need to be content enough to lie down and get their rest. Really good shepherds know how to provide this kind of rest for their sheep. And God's word here in Psalm 23 is saying, the Lord knows how to provide for his people the contentment that we need for the rest that we need. The Lord knows that we are limited creatures, that we have physical limitations. So he says, stop one day a week, your work and your busyness. Don't be driven too hard. Stop and get physical rest. The Lord knows that we battle sin. He knows the struggles of our hearts, even as we come to church this morning. And he says, stop, get your rest, and hear the gospel of your salvation again. The Lord knows the trials that are going on in our families, our individual struggles as well. And God says, come and hear the good news of rest for all of those who come to Jesus Christ and lay their burdens down. Beloved, as sheep need their rest, we need our rest. We need to be led by still waters, not just on our holidays, but each and every week, so that we might live healthy and flourishing lives for our God. Our good shepherd knows this, and that's why he has said, beginning your week, rest. Rest in Christ. Rest physically, take time to be still and to know that I am a shepherd who provides all your needs. This is the shepherd of Psalm 23. He provides rest and refreshment. And notice also verse 3, he also provides restoration and guidance. Good shepherds also know how to care for their sheep when they are sick, diseased, or hurt. Again, sheep are vulnerable and they can't help themselves to recover. And David here says, as a result of the rest of provision and food and water, his vitality is restored. He says, my soul is restored. I'm renewed. In this restoration, it's not only physical as David gets his rest, but this restoration is also spiritual. The Lord is a shepherd who restores his sheep when they are wandering and straying off the path. David here says, you restore my soul, you lead me in paths of righteousness for your own name's sake. These paths of righteousness have to do with walking in the things that please the Lord. Think of Psalm 1 and the blessed man who doesn't walk in the path of ungodliness, but who delights in the law of the Lord, who walks in God's ways. See, beloved, as we come to church, we're reminded, aren't we, that we're not wholly obedient sheep. In fact, the comparison of you and me this morning to sheep is a very humbling one because sheep aren't known for their brains. They're incredibly dumb and foolish creatures. Again, one actual shepherd puts it this way in his commentary. He says, sheep, they can have the best shepherd who could have brought them to the best grazing lands near an abundant supply of water, but they will still wander away to where the fields are barren and the water is undrinkable. And that's what we do, isn't it, beloved? We wander from God's pleasant pastures and we find ourselves in the ditch, the side of the road, and off the path. We find ourselves grumbling against God and questioning his provision. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Brothers and sisters, the Lord has dealt with our wayward condition by sending his own son, Jesus Christ, to lay his life down for the wandering sheep, that they might be brought back into the fold. And Jesus not only dies for us in our wandering, that we might be restored back to God, but he goes after each sheep that strays off the path. According to Matthew 18, Jesus is the shepherd who constantly seeks after and restores the sheep who have strayed. Matthew 18, he leaves the 99 to go after the one. And when he finds this wandering sheep, he puts it on his shoulders. He brings it back home. And what does the scripture say? He rejoices over this one sheep that was restored even more than the 99. That's the God we worship this morning, and that's the shepherd we follow. And notice, the Lord, he restores our soul for his own name's sake. In other words, God is jealous for his glory and for his reputation as a good shepherd. And this is connected with our greatest good. God takes it upon himself that not one of his sheep under his care will ultimately stray forever, but he keeps us in the palm of his hand. David, the author of this psalm, he knew the restorative grace of God, didn't he? He had broken all of God's commandments. He coveted his neighbor's wife. He stole her. He lied about it. He committed adultery. He committed murder. He blasphemed God's name as his anointed king, but he experienced God's restorative grace. He experienced the hand of the good shepherd bringing him back into the fold. And now in this time of prosperity, he steps back and he remembers how good God has been to him. You are a God who restores my soul. The shepherd, he provides for us rest and refreshment. He provides for us restoration and guidance. And verse 4, as a shepherd, lastly here, he provides for us protection and safety. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The picture here is of a flock's seasonal passage from the lowlands, where the sheep spend the winter, and they go through the valley to the high pasture, where they spend the summer. And in this passage through the valley, it can be a very dangerous passage because in the valley, wild animals lurk there. Sudden storms may sweep along the valley floor and take out the flock. The valley could become cold and dark because not much light shines in the valley. And so there's many evils that could fall upon the flock in the valley. But David says he will not fear when he's in the valley because the shepherd is with him. It's the only real comfort in the darkness of the valley is the presence of the good shepherd with us. And David says, I'm not going to fear because this shepherd is well equipped to protect and guide me as the sheep. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod is that club that's used of the shepherd to fight off those wild creatures that might attack his flock. And the staff is, of course, used for the shepherd to walk with and to use to guide his sheep. It's important to note that the dark valleys here are part of God's paths of righteousness that he leads us on. The paths of righteousness that the Lord leads us on are sometimes through the dark valleys. And again, David knew this as God's anointed king. He knew that becoming a king and a follower of Yahweh didn't mean he'd be free from all troubles, but in fact, he spent most of his life persecuted and fearing for his life. And brothers and sisters, all of us are going to go through dark valleys. You might be going through a valley this morning. And each one of us, every single one of you, children included, we're all going to face, unless Jesus comes first, the ultimate dark valley of death. We're all going to meet death. And no one will be with us at death. No family member, no friend, no pastor, no one could see you through that transition of death. Only the Lord. Only Yahweh, the good shepherd, can lead you through the valley of the shadow of death. And the promise is, if you are Christ, then the good shepherd will be with you in that final hour to bring you safely through. And David says, there is great comfort in this for me. I will not fear, for you are with me. Notice the transition there. He's not just speaking to God, and saying, you know, he will restore my soul. He will lead me in paths of righteousness. He will be with me. But he's saying, you are with me. You are with me. He speaks directly to God. You see, we can often sense the presence of God with us, can't we, when we're in the valleys of life. Sometimes we can't. But sometimes in the valley, and sometimes even in the hour of death, we sense the presence of God. We're sobered again to remember that he's with us. And David says, I will not fear, for you're with me. You see, the personal presence of God in verse 4, it's really at the heart of this psalm. Everything flows from this verse here. God is with us, so we shall not be in want. God is with us, so we shall be restored, and we will be strengthened and refreshed. He's with us so that we might be led in paths of righteousness. And here he is with us, David says, you are with me, that I might be protected in the trials of this life and preserved in the valley. This is really the Old Testament equivalent of Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord, because the Lord is with us. Now, brothers and sisters, how can we be so confident in that fact? How can David be confident in the reality that God is with us? How can you and I be confident in that verse as well, that God is with us this morning? One of the most important things we can note about Psalm 23 is its placement within the Psalter. Psalm 23 comes after Psalm 22. I know that's not a surprise. But Psalm 22, it opens with a God-forsaken cry of despair. Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? See, brothers and sisters and visitors, that was the cry of Jesus Christ from the cross. As Jesus took upon the sins of his sheep, as he took upon the sins of his people, he was forsaken for a moment. He cried out a hellish cry of forsakenness. My God, why have you forsaken me? And in Psalm 22, it highlights for us the suffering of our Lord. It highlights his crucifixion. It highlights the mockery he endured. It highlights the sour wine he drank. It highlights the torture he experienced, both body and soul. In Psalm 22, the good shepherd was stricken for you and for me, so that when we come to Psalm 23, we can say, the Lord is with me. You're with me. Because Jesus was forsaken for a moment, because of the gospel of Psalm 22, we could come to Psalm 23 with all the comfort that it brings and say with confidence, you are with me. You're with me. You're with me even in the valley. this shepherd God is not only with us, but he's also with us as our host. He's not just with us as a shepherd, but more briefly here as we begin to wind down, he's with us as our host, verse 5 and 6. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Here we read of an abundant and extravagant feast. The Lord is portrayed here as a wealthy friend who provides divine and extravagant hospitality for these weary pilgrims going through the land. You know, do you have any rich friends that you look forward to having dinner with? Because you just know the food's going to be excellent. The wine's going to be quality. The meal's going to be long. There's going to be an abundance of food and joy. Well, that's what God is portrayed like here. A wealthy friend who provides an abundance of feast before his people who are traveling through this life. He anoints his head's guests with oil. You know, oil was used for healing weary travelers who spent their day in the sun. You know, the skin would crack and get dry and hard, and the oil would be a refreshment to them. You know, David was also anointed with oil as a king, but here it's speaking of God refreshing him as he comes to this feast. And David says, my cup, it overflows. Or the old King James, it runneth over. My cup, it overflows. This cup is one filled with wine at a feast, and here it's overflowing, really symbolic of the whole meal as a whole that overflows. It's a rich feast. The table is full. The plates are filled. The cup is flowing. God knows how to throw a party for his people, to provide hospitality for them. And notice this is gracious hospitality even in the midst of David's enemies. In the presence of my enemies, you prepare this table. The enemies of God can't stop the party, the hospitality that God provides for his people. And so David here in this time of prosperity and in this season, you see, he doesn't forget God, but he steps back and he marvels at how good God has been to him. David steps back and he sees, you are a God who has been my shepherd. You have given me rest. You have given me guidance. You have protected me. You have been with me in persecution and in the valley, and you will be with me even in death. And you're a God who has also provided for me as a weary traveler in this world. You're a God who satisfies my soul. Notice this is all present confidence in the Lord as shepherd and as host. But notice, as we close here, the future hope that David has. The future hope that he has in God's abiding love. Verse 6. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, we often think as Christians that we are pursuing God's goodness and God's love throughout our lives. And that's true to a degree. We're following the Lord. We're growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. But notice, the end of Psalm 23 reminds us God's goodness and God's mercy are actually following us, chasing after us, pursuing us in every season of life. Surely goodness and mercy, it could be translated, will pursue me, will run after me, will chase me in every season of life. You can't get away from it. The word here for mercy, it's a rich word in the Old Testament. It's the word chesed. It's a word that highlights God's covenant love. It's the kind of love that sticks to his people like super glue. You can't get away from it. It's a love that pursues his people in the valley. And David here says, goodness and mercy will pursue me, will chase after me, will run after me in every season of life, both in the valley and in the times of green pastures. And your grace and your mercy will ultimately lead me home. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you've been reading this psalm closely, you would see the intimacy is increasing. Have you seen it? You know, sheep don't dwell in the house, right? Sheep don't dwell in the house. Only family members do. And so this psalm is growing in intimacy. We're not only sheep in this life who are being guided and protected and cared for. We're not only friends of God who are given this meal, given this provision as he is our host. But we're sons and daughters who are going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's what this psalm is saying to us. You're part of the family. You're going to dwell in my house forever. I'm not only your shepherd, not only your host, but I'm your father. I'm your father, and you will dwell in my presence forever. Jesus said to his disciples who were burdened because of his words of departure. Jesus comforted them. Dear disciples, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and I will take you to where I am, that where I am, you may be also. In Revelation 21, verse 3, we read of the fulfillment of these things. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with his people, and they will be his people, and he will be their God. Beloved, consider who God is for you this morning. He's your shepherd. He's your shepherd. And he's your host. And he's your father. Do you need a shepherd today? Are you visiting with us today and you don't know the Lord? Are you a sheep that's wandered today? If you come to church and you're straying from God? Jesus says to us this morning, he says to each one of us, I am the good shepherd. I'm the shepherd. And he's come to lay down his life for the sheep, for all those who wander. He's come to lay down his life at the cross that we might have peace with God and that we might know God's personal care in our lives because of what the shepherd has done for us. Brothers and sisters, come to the God who has made peace between God and man through the cross of Jesus Christ. You see, God is found when we can personally take hold of him by faith, when we can say personally with David, Lord, you are my shepherd. Lord, you are with me. Is that your confession this morning? Can you say that personally? Lord, you are my shepherd. Brothers and sisters, may we cling to the good shepherd today, our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has laid down his life for us and the one who continues to lead us as his flock to our eternal home. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, what a psalm. It's a familiar psalm, but what a beautiful psalm it is. We thank you, O Lord, for the reminders here that you are with us in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the provision that you have made in Jesus Christ in our salvation, that we can have peace and that we can actually have confidence in this life through the valleys, that we can know that you're with us because of what Christ has done. Our Lord Jesus, we thank you for your cross. We thank you for laying your life down for us. We were not seeking you. We were not godly. We were not seeking to follow after you in paths of righteousness, but we were wandering. And we thank you at that point, you laid down your life for us that we might have peace with God. We do pray that we would no longer wander, but we pray that you'd help us to follow you. Help us to be near to you each day, in each moment. Help us to know your personal care, even as it's described in this psalm. Lord, for any among us who are here this morning, who are wandering, bring them back into the fold. Work in their lives. Pursue them. May your goodness and mercy pursue them in this season of life, that they might know, once again, the Good Shepherd. Lord, hear our prayers and be near to us, for we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.